The following podcast is a presentation of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
I'm going to be talking about interviews today, and I have good news for you about a book that I used to prepare for every single job that I've ever gotten in the United States. I used this one book to prepare, and which means I read the book before my interviews, and I felt that it really helped a lot. And what happens is this book is out of print. So the bad news is it's out of print. The good news is, because it's out of print, if you go online, you can find this book for like $1. $1 and you get the book. So I brought it here because I wanted to show you. I'm going to pass it around. And I also wanted to give you the name of it. Why is it that this book is good? And there's like 400 books about interviews, right? I mean, if you go to our office, we have a whole shelf about interviews. The reason why I like this one better is because this one tells you about all different kinds of interviews that you're going to encounter in the United States. So basically here, sometimes you have an interview that's going to be just you and one person on the other side. Sometimes you have an interview where it's you as the candidate and then you have a whole panel of people interviewing you. Sometimes you have phone interviews. Sometimes you have video conference interviews. So pretty much this book helps you with every single scenario that you can imagine. I like it very much because it's also small. I don't get any commission to be saying this, so I wish every time I recommended the book I got commission. So what I'm going to do is, to facilitate, since we're waiting for the handouts anyways, I'm going to put this on the board, and I want everybody to take a note. The other thing is, I just found out from a student that there is a way to get this book online for free. Not the book, like the hard copy, but like the electronic version. I'm not 100% sure how she did it, but she told me that she started Googling around and she found out that it's available online. You can download it. So I don't know exactly how to do it, but I'm sure you guys are much more internet savvy than I am, and you can probably find out. But if I find out from her the link or anything, I will go ahead and email everybody who was in the session so that you have the link. So I'm trying to figure it out because she just told me yesterday that this book is available online. So I'm just going to put it here because I think it's really a great way to prepare. So it's called Great Interview Successful Strategy. I'm going to put just the last name of the authors because that's usually how you find it. So the last name is Iris, one person, and then Ozen. Is everybody familiar with what ISBN means? Mm-hmm. Yes. So I'm going to put the ISBN here just to help you out. It's another way to find books. 5, 7, 6, 8, 5, 3, 0, 4, 7. Okay, so I'm going to pass this around just in case you want to take a look at it. It's definitely like a really good resource for you guys. I started that way with the sign-up sheet, so I'm going to start this way. Thank you. This book also talks about the application process, which I think can only help you. The other book that I want to recommend, and this one I'm not going to put on the board because it's like easier to remember the name, and you can take a note if you want. This is something that I recommend to everybody who comes to see me in counseling. You probably, if you came to my office, you probably heard about this book already. It's called The Guerrilla Tactics for Getting the Legal Job of Your Dreams. The reason why I love this book so much is because it's written for an American market, but actually it helps foreign students a lot more than it helps Americans, because this talks about the legal culture in the United States, what people expect of you, what type of attitude you need to have when you go talk to people about a job search or job prospects. So pretty much it teaches you that if you let people know that you are desperate for a job, you're never going to get that job, because it's a human thing, it's a human interaction thing, that whenever somebody seems desperate, people want to run the other way. So all of these things, at least when I came here as an LLM, as a foreign person to this country, I had no idea that this is what happens in this culture. So this really talks about the real legal culture, the legal market, and what are the things you need to do in order to get an internship or a job. This applies for internships or jobs. Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm good.
Oh my God, he brought his own coffee. I'm so offended. You don't like my coffee.
It's Oh.
That's why. I'm joking.
Yeah,
I'm joking. I am joking. Don't worry. Oh, that is so sweet. Thank you so much. Hi, how are you? I'm glad you guys showed up. I was worried because like 30 people signed up and then I had like very few people in the room. Very good quality people, but it was just cute. Anyways, so this book is another one that I recommend. This talks about what we call networking, which is just meeting people with the purpose of getting a job or getting interviews. I'm going to pass this around. This is also available. I think the Pensmore Library has them. We have two copies in our office, so you can take them home. But if you're going to be here and you're really serious about your job search, you know, find this online. This is also available. The used copies sell for like $3 or something. It's really a good investment. It's the price of a coffee in Starbucks, and it can really help you in your job search. So I'm going to pass this around if you want to make a note. If you look at the table of contents for this book, you're going to see like how much in-depth it goes and how much it can help you with all your questions. Like all the LLMs have the same questions, which I had when I came here as an LLM as well, which is like, how do I outreach to a law firm? How do I talk to a lawyer when I meet them for coffee? What do I say? Do I bring my resume? How do I dress? How do I say goodbye? Do I shake hands? Do I just say hello? All of these questions, you know, I am glad to answer for you every time you come and see me, but this book is definitely going to drive the point home and help you out, okay? So, with no further delay, I'm still waiting for my assistant to bring the handouts, but we can go ahead and get started. So for the recording, just so I know, this is the start of the workshop, so I have to edit the recording later. So anyways, so just going ahead and getting started, does anybody know, can anybody tell me, why do we do interviews? Today we're going to be talking about interviews, right? Job interviews, internship interviews. Why do we do that? Do we do them in your country? Does in every country that happens? Tell me. Any country where there's no interviews? You just get hired miraculously? No? Okay. Your country.
India. As possible.
You don't do interviews in India.
We do, but if you're known to someone, I mean, suppose Mr. X knows Mr. Z,
He
just calls up, he says, well, Mr. Z, you know, my son is coming over, that's it.
Oh my God, can you give me the phone number for Mr. X? So I can get everybody a job?
You won't believe, one of my friends, he said, like, man, I'm looking for internships. And then I said, like, okay, so you got to apply. He said, no, my dad talked to, like, one of the firms, and...
Oh, my God.
And those guys got back to him. They said, well, we got a... You know, we are willing to offer you an internship position, come over.
Wow.
We hope to see you tomorrow on Monday.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
Things happen in India.
Guys, so let's just take a plane, let's just move to India, and then we don't even need to read the books or the workshop. You know, the weather's nice there anyways, the food is wonderful, the people are great, you know, they dance really well. So let's just do that. So anyways, bringing you back to reality, thank you so much for sharing that with us. I'm really excited, actually, that there is one country or two countries or three countries where there's no interviews, because that means that there's a lot to be learned, and I'm more than happy to teach you guys how to do that. So basically, why do we interview? Why do you think we interview? What's the purpose of, like, interviewing? Just to make us nervous and, like, make us freak out?
I think it's an opportunity for the employer to know the employee before hire, face-to-face, and also vice versa.
Exactly. So you can get to know the person. What else? What else are we looking for when we interview? Because there's so much that comes out in an interview, and I just want you to have a sense of, like, how much can be seen in an interview.
You can have a simple grasp of that person's personality.
Exactly. Very good. Mm-hmm. Any of the boys are going to say anything?
Okay, I'm going to say something.
Yes? Okay. Thank you. You're misrepresented. Two girls already spoke, and you guys are so quiet. Hey, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much, Kira.
Super, thanks. Okay, so the boys are going to speak. You.
Yeah, every company, I guess, they have a particular standard of kind of people they hire. Because they want to have good people around them.
Uh-huh.
They want to have good atmosphere. So in an interview, they kind of see if this particular guy, he fits within the bunch of people they're working with.
Okay.
So, and they see if he is worth having them so that it's business too.
Exactly.
They know that this guy, he's going to get paid.
Exactly.
They want to know how much they can, you know, like, draw in the back.
Okay.
I mean, that's, how much can we pull back?
That's really good, yes. That really brings home the point, yes, that's true.
And at the end, they also want to work with someone who is cooperative, with whom they can work And so an interview which actually gives them the space to learn about the person's mentality, mm-hmm. personality, and his skills.
Exactly. Exactly. Because later, I mean, you're meeting a colleague and you're going to meet somebody who's probably going to be every single day with you in the office, right? If you're going through stress, that person's going to be going through stress with you. If you're celebrating that you just won a case, that person's going to celebrate with you. So not only you're looking for what type of personality this person have, what type of skills they have, what type of experience they have, but most of all, you're looking whether you want to be colleagues with that person, you want to go have coffee with that person every day on your break. You know, that's very important. The reason why it's important to realize that is because a lot of people see interviews as a very serious and very like stern environment where you're not supposed to smile, you're supposed to be just very business. But hey, we're all humans, right? So you want to make sure that the person across the table from you is comfortable talking to you and want to be friends with you and bring you in as a colleague, right? So is it important to smile when you walk into an interview?
No.
Yes, thank you. Yes, 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 yes. See, beautiful smile, that's so cool. That's exactly the type of smile we want to see. We want to see people happy to be there because, hey, you're competing for a job, you finally got an interview, be happy about it. You know, walk in with a smile, walk in with a good attitude. So people want to be colleagues with you. So that's exactly why we interview. So 1 hour of an interview or sometimes 30 minutes of an interview, you can learn so much about a person, right? So the best way is to try to think to yourself, don't be nervous. You know, try to breathe before you walk in, because when you are nervous, you kind of contaminate the whole room with that nervousness. And even if the interviewer was feeling very relaxed, he had a good day, if you walk in and you're freaking out and you're nervous, your palms are sweating, the interviewer is going to say, oh my God, something's going on that I don't know about. I'm going to freak out too. You know, so, you know, just be calm. Try to, like, relax. So we're going to be going into more specifics. I have two handouts I want to pass out. So pass around. So get one and pass around the others, please. And this handout that you are passing first has a lot of literature about interviews. So this is something you're going to use at home and to read everything. I actually copied one of the chapters of the book with permission of the author. I copied the one chapter of the book that talks about different scenarios of interviews for you in case you don't want to get the book. You know, I put the most important chapters there as well. And so that's a handout you're definitely going to be reading more at home. This one is a handout that I want you to make notes on it. I want to make sure that everybody gets out of here with a summary of everything we're going to talk about. This is like a PowerPoint presentation, so you have space to just like make all your notes, everything that I'm saying that you feel you need to remember later. All right. Let me just see. Okay, here. They're warm because they just came out of the machine. So cool. Okay, so going back to that, so we understand the importance of interviewing. We understand what are the things that the employers are looking for. So we need to make sure that we master our skills and we practice, 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 practice. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to you about it, but I'm also going to let you practice with each other. We're going to break down into little groups, and I want you to interview each other so that you see how you come across, you see how your colleague come across. And then since you know what you're looking for, because I'm going to be telling you exactly what are the signs that the employers are looking for, you can tell your friend or you can tell your colleague sitting beside you, you need to improve this, this, and this, because when I talk to you, you seem nervous, you seem this or that, okay? So it's okay, like we're all going to be practicing together. So what we're going to be covering today, if you go through, thank you so much, if you go through the handouts, like this first page tells you everything we're going to try to teach you today. I'll do my best to cover all the different points. And the goal of the interview we already covered, which is like to get to know you, to see if you're going to be a cool colleague to work with, to see if you have a demeanor that is professional, to see if you have a good personality, if you can articulate yourself and tell people about yourself, right? So the one thing I want to know is, in your country, like when you meet somebody, does everybody shake hands? What is the proper way to greet people? Hi, welcome. Grab a seat. The handouts are here. You need to sign in the signing sheet, please. So tell me, in your country, when you walk into a room, do you actually shake hands with people? No. Okay. In Japan, we go.
Yeah, bow.
Bow. Okay. I've been trying to learn how to do that for the longest time. It's hard. What about you? You're gonna say something.
Oh,
Like this?
Yes.
Okay. Even so, if you're walking into a law firm and a lawyer is going to say hi to you, both of you are going to go like this. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm very happy to have these examples because in the United States, as you know, we shake hands. And that tradition comes before swine flu started, right? with swine flu, that may change a little bit, okay? You may shake hands and then go for the gel. But, you know, for now, we're still shaking hands in the United States. So that's the first big cultural difference that we observe, especially when you come from Asian countries where you don't shake hands. So the first thing I want to teach you about an interview is when you walk into the room, have what we call a firm handshake. What does it mean to have a firm handshake? Does it mean to squeeze the person's hand so the person's in pain? No. Does it mean to shake hands and just barely touch the person's hand? No, that's exactly what we want to avoid. You don't want to shake hands with somebody and give them the impression that you're disgusted, even if you are, okay? Because you need a job and that person has the power to give you the job. If you pretend or if you act as if you're disgusted to touch them, you know, to touch their hand, that's not going to be a good interaction from the beginning. It gives the wrong impression. I have shaken hands with a lot of people. Men, no. Usually men don't do that. But women sometimes do that. You shake hands with somebody, and let me show you the example. So one hand is here. The person's hand is here. They're going to go like this. Okay? So that's not a good handshake because the message you're sending is, oh my God, I don't want to touch you. I'm so disgusted. And it's not really nice to meet you. I'm just saying nice to meet you, but it's not really so nice to meet you. So they're going like this, right? So that's not a good handshake. So what is a good handshake? Do you squeeze like that? No. You just go like a normal handshake. You hold the person's hand, and when you are doing that, you are looking at them in the eye because eye contact during the interview is super important, okay? Why is that? Body language is very important during the interview. The first body language sign that you see when you meet somebody is their eye contact, whether they're looking at you in the eye. If I shake hands with somebody and I'm like this, it's kind of weird. You know, it kind of like sends the message that either I'm shy or I'm nervous, and that's not a good way to greet people. So the handshake is important not only for interviews, also for receptions that you go, also when somebody introduces you to somebody else. It's just, you know, an American culture thing. People shake hands when they meet, okay, and they look at themselves in the eye and just like go and shake hands. Okay, so if everybody's comfortable, let's practice the handshake. I was going to bring the gels, but I forgot. If anybody wants to go use gel, that's fine. But like, let's just practice the handshake. So turn to your right side and look at the person in the eye and say, hey, nice to meet you. Okay. All right. So how does it feel to do that? Is that okay? All right. Who feels they need more practice a little bit? Okay. Did anybody grab your hand like this? No? Okay. So we're doing well. Okay, good. So that is the first thing that is going to happen when you go for an interview. Okay? I just wanted to do that to wake you up a little bit. And now I want to back up. Yes, sir.
I have this question. Like, suppose in the interview board, you're sitting right there. Suppose you're the interviewer at this time, and you're sitting there.
Uh-huh.
I'm the candidate. I'm walking into the room. You know, there's a lot of space. I'm staring, like there are six people staring at me. I'm feeling really awkward, like I'm walking there. You know, I'm sensitive about how I'm walking.
Yes.
What should I do the moment I reach the chair?
The chair.
Yeah.
You should just panic and pass out right there. No, I'm kidding. So when you have like a whole group of people looking at you, when you're what we call panel interviews or group interviews, right? Obviously, you don't go around shaking hands with everybody. That's not the appropriate way. You probably shook hands already with the person who went to pick you up from the waiting area, right? You were waiting for somebody to come pick you up. That person is a one-on-one interaction, so you go and you shake hands. When you walk into a room and it's a panel interview, you definitely don't have to shake hands with everybody. But you walk in and you say, if it's morning, right? Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to meet all of you. Good morning. And then you sit down with your folder and you put it in front of you. And then that's when you start. But you acknowledge that there are other people in the room. You try to make eye contact with pretty much all of them. You know, and you walk in and you just say, hello, it's really nice to meet you. Thank you so much for having me here. Or thank you so much for inviting me to this interview. It's nice to meet you. Okay, so you may also say your name if you want, you know, introduce yourself, and then you say it's nice to meet you, but you just do it by eye contact. You don't go around like shaking hands. On the goodbye part, it's the same thing. Okay, so you goodbye everybody, you say goodbye to everybody, you thank them for their time. Thank you so much for having me here. It was a pleasure to meet all of you. I look forward to being in touch with you. And then you walk out. Somebody's going to definitely walk you out. That person, the one-on-one interaction, is the one you're going to shake hands with on the way in and on the way out. Okay, but that's a really good question, because panel interviews and group interviews are very confusing. And people do that to torture you. It's kind of like they do that so that they see, like, you know, in a pressure environment, how are you going to operate?
Okay. But if it's like a one-on-one interview, then you can just...
One-on-one, yes. You definitely shake hands, and, you know, unless swine flu changes all of that for us. But so far, you do shake hands, and, you know, you talk to the person the whole interview, and on your way out, you're going to stand up, and you're also going to shake hands. Okay?
I have one question. Do you wait until they ask you to sit down, or do you just come in, say good morning, and you sit down?
No, you can come in and sit down, yes. You greet everybody, and then as you are doing that, you definitely go sit down. Yeah, people here won't tell you to sit down.
Okay.
It's and I know in other cultures you need to wait for that. Here, no. Like, you just go ahead and you sit down. Yes. Okay? So the one thing I want to say about the handshake is, when you are shaking hands with the interviewer and you just walked in and you're ready for your interview, is that a good time for you to be thinking about all the answers that you're going to give during your interview, or should you have done that earlier?
You should have done that earlier.
Thank you. Okay? Many people, and the reason why I talked about the handshake first is that I wanted to go to this, which is, many people don't prepare at all for interviews. And preparing doesn't mean rehearsing as much, but it means spend 20 minutes, 30 minutes or more, you know, just thinking about things that people can ask you and how would you answer to that. So, you know, sometimes the preparation can take longer than that, but when you are shaking hands, you're already there and you're shaking hands with somebody. Everything that can go on in that interview should have been thought by you already. It should have been in your mind already. Different scenarios, different questions, and that's why you have so many handouts today, because we try to cover as broad as many questions that can be asked of you in that scenario. So what I'm trying to say is, preparation is definitely the key for you to be successful in the interview, because when you walk in and you shake hands with somebody and you already thought about that scenario in your head so many times, you feel a lot more at ease, and people can tell that. You're not nervous that it's like, well, something's going to come up and just completely surprise me, because you were prepared. You took the time to think about that scenario and to prepare. So, going back to the preparation, you know, let's walk back from the handshake a little bit. In other words, don't just go shake hands with people without having any idea who they are, which company you're interviewing with, how many offices they have. All of those things go into your preparation. So, what I want to do here is, when you look at this this little slide that says the basics, the first bullet point you see there is prepare and practice. So that's exactly what I'm going to talk about right now. So if you look at the other bullet points, it says it's okay for you to get nervous, right? It is okay. Why is it okay? Because everybody gets nervous. We are human beings. If you don't get nervous in an interview, that probably means you're not that interested in the job. Because when you really want something, you kind of get nervous, right? When you go on a date with somebody you've been waiting to meet for a long, long, long time, you've been waiting to take that girl out to a date, or you've been waiting for a guy to ask you out on a date, and then they finally ask, if it's somebody you really want to date, you're going to be a little nervous, right? If it's somebody you could care less about, you're probably not going to be that nervous. You're even going to go in your jeans and your flip-flops and you don't care much about it. But if it's somebody that you really want to meet, you're definitely going to spend 3 hours doing your hair, girls, right? The guys, the same thing. So what I'm talking about, what I'm talking about is, preparation is key. And why do you get nervous even if you're prepared? Well, because we're all humans, and when you really want, you know, a good result, a good outcome, it's a little bit, you know, normal that you're going to be a little bit shaky. We can try to minimize that by preparing yourself, right? So that's the best way to deal with the nervousness. Keep in mind, and this is, maybe you want to make a note on your handout, that you are nervous in an interview usually, but the interviewer is also nervous sometimes, most of the times the person on the other side is also nervous. Okay, so what's going to happen? If you act on being nervous and you are, you know, you portray yourself as very nervous, the other person on the other side is going to get more nervous. The nervousness is going to escalate and then we're going to have a nervous breakdown. People are going to pass out, you know, nervous. So let's try to control that, you know, nervousness. And there are techniques, of course. I'm not going to be here teaching yoga for you today. But the techniques that we talk about when you are really, really nervous, freaking out, is just think to yourself, I am here to do my best. I'm going to do everything I can. But I know that I'm human and I'm a little bit nervous. So let me just take a deep breath and calm down and just leave the nervousness to later. Try to freak out about the interview later, after it already happened. So postpone your nervousness. Sometimes it works a little for people to do that. So when you walk in there, just think to yourself, I have to be calm for the next 30 minutes, and then I can freak out at home, and I can scream, and I can put my teddy bear, I can do whatever I want. But for now, I'm just going to be a calm person for 30 minutes. If you don't give yourself the goal of, like, I need to be perfect for 30 minutes, we're not asking for perfection, we're just asking for calmness. Right? Tranquility, serenity. So if you try that as a goal, everybody can be calm and deep breaths for 30 minutes, you can do that. Right? So if you commit to that, it's a very short goal and it's easy to attain. It's easier than thinking, oh, I have to be perfect on this interview. Never think you have to be perfect, because the reality is nobody's perfect. Even the interviewer is not perfect. Right? So make notes of that. Make sure you remember to breathe. When we are nervous, we kind of go like this, and we pant, and we don't breathe. Take deep breaths. It's a biological thing that it will calm you down, okay? The other thing is to try to yawn, not when you meet the person, but before you see the person, right? Mm-hmm. If you do that, if you're really, really, really nervous, and you just say, excuse me, and you go like that, it calms you down. It's really interesting. It's a biological thing, but don't do it in front of the interviewer, of course, because otherwise the people are going to think, oh my God, you're so bored, right? So that goes into your preparation to just try to achieve that calmness, you know, state. If you have a tendency to get your hands, like your palms, sweaty when you are nervous, you know, sometimes carrying a notepad and maybe like a little tissue on top of the notepad so that you can just grab it, and that will, like, naturally it will take away the sweaty, you know, palms problem. So if you just like grab something, if you have your hands like nothing to hold onto, that makes it worse. If you actually have a notepad and a little tissue on top of it, that will take care of it, pretty much. And it's okay, everybody gets that. Yes, sir.
Is it okay if I carry a bottle of water with me for the interview?
It is okay. Most likely people will offer you something to drink, and we're going to get there. I'm going to be talking about that as well. If it makes you feel better to carry a bottle of water, that's okay. It's
because
not
that
wrong.
That also lets you calm down sometimes.
Yes, it is okay. It's definitely okay to bring, you know, something to drink with you. That's not a problem. As long as you're careful not to spill it, you know, that kind of stuff. But usually as you walk in, people will ask you what you want to drink. Most places. Not everybody, but most places. So, but if you want to bring it, if it calms you down, by all means, that's totally fine. Okay, so walking in that interview, you know, you did your preparation already, which I'm going to be teaching you how to do. That's what this third bullet point is talking about, which is to know what you have to offer. So pretty much you walk in there knowing that the reason why these people called you to interview you is not because they're just curious to see your face. It's because they've seen your resume and they think you have something to offer. So I interview a lot of students, and I do a lot of mock interviews with students, which is we pretend to be in the interview. And people are, oh, I'm never going to get this job because I'm not prepared, because I don't have enough experience, I don't have the language skills, I don't have this, I don't have that. Well, if you were called for the interview and they had other candidates, they had other options for sure, is because they think you are worth it, right? So just calm yourself down and accept the fact that you can be good for that position. That's the reason why people called you, because they think you're going to be good for that. So give yourself credit. Otherwise, you just get more and more nervous and it's not good. So know what you have to offer ahead of time. Before you get there to shake hands, you know, think about your qualifications and the position you're interviewing for, and know that you have a lot to offer to that. And, you know, remind yourself of your skills. Well, I speak 3 languages, I have 2 internships, you know, and all of that. Know what you have to offer means also, and this is something really important I want you guys to remember, that knowing the position you are going into and not comparing yourself to the interviewer. Why am I saying that? Because I see a lot of students that I prepare who get very nervous Hey, good morning. How are you? Get some coffee, sign the signing sheet, and then get the handouts. We're going through this one that has slides, so people can help you out, get situated. So, I see a lot of people who get very nervous, because let's put the scenario for you in perspective. So, you are interviewing for an internship, okay? Do you have to be as knowledgeable as the partner about that certain type of law that you're interviewing for? No.
Of course not.
And why of course not? Because if you knew as much as that person on the other side of the table, you would actually be interviewing for a partner position and not an internship, right? So that helps. I think that helps calm you down, because you don't expect to know, you don't expect from yourself to know as much as the partner knows, especially if we're talking about internships. The purpose of internships is to teach you things. So when you walk into the door, the most we expect from you is, of course, to have good grades, because you are a student and that's expected of you. We expect you to be nice and courteous. We expect you to smile. We expect you to have a good handshake. That's all the things I'm teaching you today. We don't expect you to know as much as the partner. We don't expect you to know as much as the interviewer. Okay? So don't put that pressure on you, because you are starting your career. It is okay for you to not know everything about that type of law. Right? Of course, we don't want clueless people that if you're interviewing for an arbitration position and they say, what is arbitration all about to you? You're not going to be able to say anything. Of course, you know, preparation also means knowing a little bit about the law you're going to be practicing or trying to learn. But you definitely don't need to know as much as the interviewer knows. Okay, so I'm really happy that when I asked that, everybody went, of course not. Because a lot of times people get very shy to talk to somebody who knows so much. But keep in mind, that person has been doing that for 30 years. If you are doing that for 30 years, you probably know even better than he does or she does, okay? So don't put yourself in that spot of being nervous. Prepare to address the weak spots. We're going to be talking about this. In America, it's very common that people ask you, give me 3 qualities you have, but give me 3 weaknesses you have. One of the worst things you can do for that question is to say, oh, I don't have any weaknesses. Okay, when you say that, you are really ignoring the question, and you know it's impossible that you don't have any weakness. But I'm going to teach you which we all have weaknesses, right? But which weaknesses are okay to say in an interview and which weaknesses you don't talk about in an interview. Okay, you need to be honest, but not so much when it comes to this one. But you need to be prepared to know which ones you're going to be talking about, because this will be something people will ask you. Okay? Do your research. Guys, I need you to make notes on this. This is the slide we're in, the basics. So I need you to make notes on this. What does it mean to do research? Does it mean you're going to start writing research papers about the law you're going to interview about? No, it doesn't mean that. Come in, please. Yes, welcome. Are you here for the interview session?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't sign up because I was supposed
that
to
is okay. Don't worry about it. No drama. Just sit down and grab a handout and, we'll try to catch you up. So no problem. So, okay, there you go. And I just needed to sign. Thank you. That was effective. Just sign this one, please. So basically, yes.
This one?
Yeah. So doing research, preparing for your interview, what does it mean? Does anybody have an idea? Can somebody tell me what to do? Yes.
Well, it's basically understanding the firm, partners, number of offices they are having.
Very good.
Doing research about that particular company for which you went for the interview. And in which area they do specialize and what kind of clients they have.
That is amazing. Yes. Thank you.
And what are your interests in that particular firm? I'm sure if it does in some gas and oil stuff, you're not definitely interested. Maybe you are. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you're interested in arbitration or in some other kind of litigation. So you identify your key areas and focus on them.
Yes.
And that brings in more kinds of communicative interview.
Absolutely. So that's the type of research you want to do. You want to know what the firm does. You want to know, talking in the context of law firms, right? You want to know what the law firm does. You want to know how many offices they have. For us who are foreign, if you're interviewing with a firm that is American firm, you want to see in the website if they have an office in your country. And if they don't have an office in your country, that doesn't mean that you are not interesting for them. You may be even more interesting because they don't have an office in your country and they're looking to open an office there. They're looking to make a connection with lawyers in your country. So just look at the website. One thing that I used to do when I was an LLM, and I think it works, until now it works pretty well for everybody. Every law firm has a little box in their website that says search. Excuse me. That says search. So, in my case, since I'm Brazilian, if you put this word in the search box, this is within the law, not Google anything, it's in the firm's website, right? If you put Brazil there, it's going to show me everything that that firm has ever done with Brazil. It's going to show me the partners or the associates who have written something about Brazil. It's going to show me in their profiles if they've ever litigated a case involving Brazil. So that's a good way to already know if the firm has anything to do with your country, okay? The other word, and this is pretty basic, but people don't realize they can do this. So Brazil, you can also say Brazilian, because a lot of times they're going to say, litigated a case on behalf of a Brazilian client. So that if you put Brazil, the computer is not as smart to tell you Brazilian is also part of that. So, you know, try different words. For people from Asia, you're going to put Asia, Asian, you know, all different kinds of variations, and try to map out what is it that firm has done in your country or in your region. Okay, keep in mind it could be the region as well. If I'm from Uruguay, which is a small country, a lot of American firms don't operate there. But if I put Latin America, I'm definitely going to find a lot of hits, and I can help with those cases if I'm from Uruguay, right? So doing your research is absolutely important. So number one, doing the research about the organization, so the law firm, the NGO. If it's an NGO, you want to know what their mission is, okay? NGO people who work in NGOs, when they interview you, they want to see your passion for the cause that they are passionate about. So if you go interview with an NGO and you're really like blasé about the cause and you don't show that you have, you know, really invested interest in it, like because you really feel strongly about the issues, they're not going to hire you because they themselves are very passionate about that. Like if I go interview for an environmental position, you know, I want to make sure that I talk about how passionate I am about the environment, how worried I am about global warming, how, you know, show your passion, okay? So it's harder to interview with an NGO when you really don't care because you have to pretend. I mean, that's, you know, the World Bank, for example. The World Bank, if you go interview with them, you have to have in mind that their mission is to eradicate poverty, eradicate any type of hardship for humans all over the world. You walk into that building and, you know, they have the slogans printed out all over the building, you know, let's eradicate hunger. And then they have this cafeteria there where they waste food every day, right? So they're kind of hypocrite about it, but at the same time, you're not there to point that out to them. I've had students who walk in and get very offended that they're trying to eradicate hunger and they're throwing a lot of food away in the cafeteria, right? But the interview is not the time for you to point that out to them. If you feel that way, you write a paper, you get published, and that's the way to take them on, but not on the interview. I've had students argue on the interview with people that the World Bank is lying, that they're like, you know, doing other. So that's not the good time. So part of your preparation is to see the mission of the organization and to actually see, does that resonate with what I want to do in my life? Can I speak to that and be genuine about it? Okay? So preparing means looking at the organization, looking at the law firm, but it also means looking up the people that you're going to meet with. Okay, so I want you to make notes about this so you remember. Two things you're going to be researching, the organization and the people. Okay, so how do we learn more about the people? One thing that most foreign students and I myself didn't know when I came here is that when you are called for an interview, let's say, for example, it's an organization that has a human resources department, right? So that department is going to arrange for your interviews, and they're going to tell you, well, you're going to be interviewing with three lawyers on Friday. Okay, three lawyers on Friday. Most people don't realize that it's okay to ask, may I ask you who I am meeting on Friday? Could you please send me the names in an email? Why am I saying, give me the names in an email? Because a lot of times, it's not the names are not in your language, and you don't know how to spell them, and because of the spelling, you may not be able to find that person when you are doing your research. So it is completely okay to ask, could you please send me the names of the people who are going to be interviewing me? And usually people say, sure, no problem. You're going to be seeing Mr. John Smith and then Ms. Joanna Smith or whatever. Okay, and that's okay to ask. It actually shows interest. It shows that you're trying to prepare your best. Okay. The other thing that it's okay to ask is ask the human resources department, how long do they expect your interviews to last? Why are you saying that? Because you want to make sure, for example, in my case, I am a person who doesn't like having breakfast. I hate having breakfast. I just don't eat breakfast. I can't eat when I wake up. I'm too sleepy. I don't eat breakfast. If I go for an interview, like it, which happened to me, I go for an interview at 10 o'clock in the morning with a law firm. I get there, I'm thinking I'm going to interview with just one or two lawyers. Okay, I get there, it's six lawyers, and they're not all together in the same room. It's like about 40 minutes with each one of them, which means I'm going to be there from 10 o'clock in the morning until like 2 p.m., and if I don't like to eat breakfast, it's going to be at a point I'm going to get really hungry in the middle of all of that, and my stomach's going to start making noises, right? And I'm going to get embarrassed because I'm sitting in front of a partner and my stomach's going rah, 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 rah. So that is just a practical thing to do, is to ask how long, you know, I have all the time in the world. I mean, you're not going to say this, but you're going to say, I'm really interested in the interview. And I was just wondering, like, how long do this type of interviews usually last? Just so I am prepared. It's okay to ask those things, either the HR department, the human resources department, or the person who's setting up the interview with you. Why is that? Because if you happen to be like me, you're going to make sure you eat something at 10 o'clock so that your stomach is not just going rah, rah, rah. Okay, we're humans, you know, things happen, right? If you have a long day of interviews like that, and you actually, at some point, you're going to need to use the restroom, right? Try to use the restroom between interviews. You know, it's a little bit odd or strange for you to just stand up in the middle of the interview and say, oh, I'm sorry, I need to use the restroom. Hold on, I'll be right back. Don't do that. You know, try to, like, you know, pace yourself so that when you get a break, because if they're going to keep you for the whole day, you're definitely going to have breaks. So on your break, you just say, oh, excuse me, I need to use the restroom for a second. Where are your restrooms? It's okay to ask people. Don't hold it in the whole day, okay? I had students who did that because they were embarrassed to ask. So what else? You can negotiate. So do your research, prepare. That's all before the interview. After the interview, we want to say to you that it's okay to negotiate. In many countries, my country included, if they offer you a job and they offer you a salary, you just don't negotiate. You don't ask anything. You just take what you're given. Because if you don't, there's 400 people on the line who will take it. So you don't have that much room for negotiation. The reality is, with the group that I have here with me right now, when you're looking for internships, there isn't much to negotiate in terms of salary, but there's a lot to negotiate in terms of hours. There's a lot to negotiate about when your exams come along, what happens, do you need to be in the office every day when exams are coming in. So there is room to negotiate. When we talk about negotiation, we don't mean only money, but we mean conditions of work, okay? Work conditions, my English is getting better. So it's okay to negotiate, but you only negotiate after people offer you the job or the internship. Okay. In other words, you don't walk into the interview and you sit down, you shake hands, you sit down, and then you say, so how much vacation am I going to have? I mean, that's not something you're going to say the first, you know, time you meet the person, right? So first you're there to to talk about your skills, to talk about your background, to answer questions. But then when you see that they're interested in hiring you and they come to you and say, hey, Sirish, I actually want to hire you as an intern for this semester. So I'm very happy to tell you we're offering you the internship. And you're going to say, oh, okay, so when am I starting? When is the internship ending? And that's the time to start talking about, you know, well, I have exams in December. Would it be okay for me to take a week off to study? Okay? Or you have plans to travel on Christmas time, on the holiday time. And they're offering you, sometimes the World Bank will do this, because the World Bank, sometimes they have deadlines and they need people for December, January, and February. So that collides with your traveling plans. So don't talk about your traveling plans the first time you interview with them. When they offer you the position, then you're going to say, actually, I just need to tell you, I had a ticket bought to visit my family. And if it's really important, I may be able to do some work off-site, you know, long distance. You know, that's part of being an intern. Sometimes you do some sacrifices. But there is room to negotiate that. It's better to say all of that up front before you start working, okay? Then start working, and then you come with the surprise box that it's like, oh, I'm not going to be here for 3 weeks. That's not cool, okay? Because people, even though you are in a very junior position, you're still an intern, people count on you, okay? They want you to do research for them. They want you to do, I mean, your work matters. And that's a compliment to you that it matters. Bless you. And it's a compliment to you that it matters. right? So, you know, your work matters, your time there matters, you want to be professional about it. I've had that happen to me. I hired a dean's fellow because I have dean's fellows working with me. I hired a dean's fellow the first semester I was here, had a very important project. I was writing a little booklet for the LLMs about professionalism. I needed her research. I needed her to draft some parts of the thing. I told her all about it. Well, she picked up the file. The only file I had, actually, was my fault not to make a copy of it. But I gave her my files and everything. And she went on vacation to Colombia. And, you know, she emails me from Colombia. Hi, I'm here in Colombia. I'm not going to be able to do it by the deadline. Sorry.
Oops.
I mean, is that cool? Do you do that to people? No. Thank you so much. Thank you. Okay, so I learned my lesson now. And every time I hire a dean's fellow, I'm like, are you traveling? You know, do you usually lose files? You know, because if you do, I'm going to be in trouble, right? So we count on your work. Doesn't matter how junior you are. Doesn't matter if you're doing an internship for 5 hours a week. Doesn't matter that it's volunteer. Don't take it for granted. Just because you're not getting paid doesn't mean you can just be flexible about deadlines and forget about them. And you still have to be professional, right? Questions so far? Thank you, so I can drink some water.
Now you're talking about salary negotiation. I heard that sometimes they ask you upfront during interview. So they might say, what do you think you value, or, you know, something like that. So what should we say then?
It's very difficult when, even on cover letters, sometimes they ask you to put the salary that you want in a cover letter. It's very difficult because you may value yourself a lot and then you ask for, you know, $120,000 a year, but their budget is only $40,000, right? So I would say that should be part of your research. So basically, before you even interview with a company, if they have not advertised the salary, it would be a wise thing to do, some research and try to find out. We help you a lot with that as well. Like, for example, if you ask me the range for the ABA, you know, is hiring a counsel for a rule of law program or something, that position is usually $40,000 to $60,000 a year. If you ask me, well, what about like a government job would be the same. If it's a law firm, it's going to be a little bit higher. If it's an NGO, it's about the same. So, you know, ask people, ask us. You know, I would do my best to do the research. There have been times where we really have no clue, and what I will do is I will call the organization and I will say, I have a few students interviewing with you. I just want to know the range that you're paying because, you know, people have been asking me, and what should I tell them? And that takes away from you, so it's not you asking, but it's you know, I have the position to say, I am their career counselor. I need to tell them something, so help me out. You know, so sometimes we do that. So, you know, do your research. That's the best thing. When they pressure you for a number, never give an exact number. Always give a range. If you have to give a number, you give a range. So, you know, think about your expenses here. Washington is an expensive city. You don't want to be working somewhere where you can't even pay your rent. So, you know, even though, like, you're really eager to get a job, I mean, if it's not even going to pay your rent, you may want to think about it, right? Maybe it's not worth it. So, you know, if they ask you for that, a range is really good. So a range within like 10,000-15,000, you know, annually, that's usually what you do. If you can avoid the question, I would definitely do that. The polite way to avoid it is to say, well, based on my experience and my academic skills, I would expect that you would pay me the market rate for that position. So that kind of like, right? Or you can say, well, I am flexible because I really want to get experience, so I'm curious about, you know, which level of budget you have for this position. I'm open to your offer. So by saying that, you're really not giving any type of number and you're not locking yourself in, right? Any questions, other questions so far?
What if the interviewer asks you some question that you don't know the answer? How to avoid the awkward silence?
So, one thing is, if the question, it depends what type of question it is. If the question is about your background, for example, so tell me three success stories about working in the past two internships where you worked. That is the type of question that you have to know the answer to, because it's about you. Right? So if the question is about you and you don't know the answer, that means you really didn't spend time preparing, right? And that's why we're going to talk about all the typical questions about you people are going to ask. If they ask you, let's say they ask you, like in my case, I worked at the Brazilian embassy 10 years ago. They ask me, so what months and years exactly did you work at the embassy? If I don't know the answer to that question, even though it was 10 years ago, I need to remember, I need to know. So those type of things, you need to know the answer. So in other words, there's no way out of that, those ones. If they ask you a substantive law, you need to leave?
Yeah.
So you only came for like 3 minutes?
Well, the thing is, I didn't sign up because I thought I had a class. They moved the class.
Okay.
So
what is your name? Sorry.
Mace.
Mace?
Yeah.
From?
Palestine.
Palestine, nice
yes.
to meet you. Okay,
nice
thank meet. You for coming.
Are
read
you
the handout.
Have another one like this?
I'm recording it so you can hear it from home later.
Like next semester or something?
Yes, yes. I do it once a semester, so it'll be fine. Thank you for coming. Okay.
Okay, thank you so much.
So you're welcome. So if it's a question about you or your background or your school or anything related to that, you need to know the answer. There's no way around it. You need to know about yourself. If it's a question about substantive law, which means like when I went one time, I went for an interview with the World Bank, and they asked me, so, you know, related to the financial crisis in Argentina, there are so many arbitration cases being filed. What would you do if you were judging a case like that? Well, I mean, the people who work there 20 years don't know the answer to that question. So if it's something that it's controversial and nobody will know the answer, what they want to know is, do you know enough about the topic to know that there's no answer to that? Okay, so in my case, that's pretty much what I said. I said, well, if I knew that answer, I would be making millions of dollars and I wouldn't be sitting here interviewing with you because nobody knows the answer. Okay, so sometimes they do that to trick you. There is a question they're asking about substantive, you know, stuff, substantive law, substantive cases, and there is no answer on purpose because they want to know, have you read about this? Have you read about what we do to know that there is no answer to this? That people do PhDs about this topic and they don't know the answer. Okay, that's one scenario. The other scenario is when they ask you a basic question about a certain type of law. For example, you go interview for an international trade internship. And they ask you, so who are the agencies that do anti-dumping in the United States? What are the federal agencies that work on that in the United States? And you just don't know. I mean, it could be, it's a basic question for somebody who wants to do trade, but maybe you didn't take Professor Eli's class, so you just have no idea, mm-hmm. right? In that case, you would say, like if you really don't know, what would you say? You could say, I am not familiar with that yet. I'm just starting my studies about trade, and that's the reason why I really want this internship, because I hope this will be a really good learning opportunity for me. Mm-hmm. Is it the best answer to give? No. But it is an answer. I mean, just so that you don't have an awkward silence, okay? You never say, I don't know. You never say, have no idea. Never. I mean, never. Actually, this is something very interesting because in some countries, the doing this with your shoulders is okay. In Ethiopia, I was taught by a student that in Ethiopia, when you do this, it means you're kind of like agreeing with the person. I mock interviewed this guy from Ethiopia, and everything I would ask, I would say, so tell me a little bit about yourself. Well, what do you want to know? I mean, it just seems like the person is not interested, right? Because in most cultures, when you do this, it means I don't care. So be really careful about that. Like, that's the reason when I said, you know, when you say you don't know, you know, don't do this. Like, that really means you don't care. So you can't say you don't know. The polite diplomatic way to say I don't know is to say I'm not really very familiar with this, which is really funny because it's really saying the same thing. But it's a more polite way of saying. And then you say, well, I learn very fast and I welcome the opportunity to learn more about this area when I work with you. That's the reason why I'm applying for this internship. I really want to learn more about this. Okay? Now, part of your preparation, if it's a basic question like I just said, you know, what are the agencies in the United States that deal with international trade law? I mean, if you want an international trade law internship, you really should know the answer to that. And if you have no clue and the internship is coming up next week, what do you do? Any suggestions? Go to the library and get yourself nutshells. Does everybody know what a nutshell is?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to write it down. Because like some people don't know they exist and they can save your life. So it's called nutshell series. These are like little books like this. Very, very small little cube books like this big. Okay, they're called nutshells because what is a nutshell is like a little thing like this much space, right? So they give you all the, not all the knowledge, but they give you a very basic overview of every area of law you want to know about
in a very short, concise manner so you don't waste time. So, for example, when you are called for an interview, usually you have at least 2 or 3 days before your interview. If you don't know anything about that area of law, it is your responsibility to go to the library. It's free, you know, no charge. Pick up a nutshell on that topic and read the basic concepts, okay? Mm-hmm. So that at least you know a little bit about the area you're interviewing for, okay? But if you really don't know the answer, the best way is to say, well, I haven't really covered that yet in my studies, and I'm really eager to learn. I'm not familiar with that at this moment, but I really hope that I will learn that from you. By working with you, I'll learn more about this. Okay, that's one way of getting around it. Any questions? Any other questions? Yes?
Do they interview in a group or in the SFI?
You mean candidates?
Yes.
Yes, it's very unethical to put 2 or 3 candidates in the same interview room. I mean, people really don't do that. So usually as a candidate, it will only be yourself, just you. And then interviewers could be, you know, 1 person, 2 people, 6 people, panels. I mean, it varies. But as far as the candidate, there's always going to be just 1 candidate. I mean, to give that person a fair chance, right? But that's a good question. Okay, so if you go at the slides, you're going to see the next slide talks about preparation is key. Okay? So keep in mind that the purpose of the interview, as we said before, is to introduce yourself to the company, is for the company to get to know you, for them to know if your personality is going to fit. And they also want to see how prepared you were. Right, and what type of skills you bring to the table. So all of that is part of your preparation to think that they are looking for that and how can you offer that to them, right? Sometimes the interview is very short and you have a very short time to make an impression. Example of that is ISIP, right? So we're going to talk about that as well. Just hold on a second because I want to find one of the questions that usually comes up. Okay, so if you look at it here, these are the things that are in the employer's mind, the employer's 3 fundamental questions. These are the things that employers are thinking when you are interviewing with them. Number 1, can you do the job? How do I prove to them that I can do that job? What are the ways that I can say, what can I say to people that will actually give the impression that I can do that job? Any idea?
That you're interested, and
that you're interested,
you know enough about the subject that you can accomplish the
mm-hmm.
link your work experience with the job.
That's very good. Yes, that's very good. So if you have any past experience that could actually help you in that job, you bring that to the table. Does it necessarily have to be the same type of law, the experience you have for you to be able to do this job today that you're interviewing for? Like if I'm interviewing for arbitration, am I only able to bring good things to arbitration if I've already done arbitration before? What do you think?
Well, not really.
Not really. Thank you so much. Not really. Why? Because we look for transferable skills.
That's the ability that matters.
The ability that matters. Exactly. Exactly. So in other words, if you're interviewing for a job that you've never worked with that type of law before, do not be discouraged, because being a lawyer means being a lawyer in a lot of different topics. And there are certain skills, for example, drafting a good brief, interacting with clients, doing legal research. If you know how to do legal research, if I give you an anti-dumping case to research or I give an arbitration case, of course, they're very different subject matters, but the technique of researching and the discipline to research and to go deep into topics is the same. So those are what we call transferable skills, because you can transfer them from various areas of law. So don't be discouraged. Even if you don't know anything about that topic yet, you may be able to bring a lot to the table. So can you do the job? Yes, you can. And the way I sound like Obama now. yes, you can. And the way to prove it is to go back and say, well, I can do research for you on this topic because, look, I've worked as a research assistant before on this and this and this and this positions. I'm very boring, I know. I'm just joking with you. get more coffee. Okay. So anyways, will you fit in? That's something people are thinking about, because you're going to be there, like I said 200 times already in the session, you're going to be a colleague to those people. So will you fit in, which means, you know, are you going to be nice to work with? Are you going to, and you know, and that's something like, there isn't much preparation you can do except remember to smile, remember to be friendly, remember that the interview is not about you being totally frozen, you know, and nervous, you know, try to relax, because then you make people feel relaxed in your presence. It's about more about your presence than actually like knowing a skill, okay? Do you want the job? I'm sorry?
I'm sorry, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Is it okay for you to make like a little joke? Like once you're talking and you feel like you can make a joke there?
It's a little bit risky. Depends on the joke. You know, it really depends. American culture welcomes, you know, good humor and everything. But just because the cultural differences are so huge sometimes between us and them, you make a joke, sometimes you may make a joke that for you is funny, but for them is very inappropriate.
Yeah.
So be careful there with the cultural differences. You know, I would say for the safe side, it's better to stay away. I mean, you can be very nice and friendly, not having to tell a joke yet. I mean, save the jokes for after you're hired. And then it's harder to, I mean, and make sure they're appropriate, huh? Because if you do a politically incorrect joke, you can get fired here.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't joke about people's disabilities in the United States, you don't joke about religion, you don't joke about sexual preference, you know, and those are the things in my country people joke about all the time. But here, you can get fired for that. So I would say, you know, that's a really good question because you should really avoid. Yeah, just be nice, friendly, smile a lot. That should be good enough. Okay? Do you want the job? Why do we put this here for you in your handout? Okay? It seems really obvious that if you're there and you applied, you want the job, but your body language and your attitude in the interview, sometimes out of nervousness, people come across as if they really don't want that job. Okay, we interviewed a career counselor to work in our office. Okay, I'll give that as a really good example. We are all career counselors. We counsel on this. I mean, every single day I'm here teaching you how to do this. Okay, this girl had had the opportunity to work for 4 years in Catholic University, so she knew what she's doing. She's counseling people on this. She forgot that it applies to her as well, right? So she comes in. We are an office of like 10 people. So we have 10 people in the room to interview her. We all took time out of your schedules. You know, we stopped counseling students to go interview her. Our time is precious. She gets there. I'm going to try to do this. I'm wearing a skirt, but try to do this. She gets there and she sits like this. Okay. And like we're talking to her and she's just going like this. I am 100% sure it's out of nervousness. I don't think she intended to be that way. But everything we would ask her, she would say, sure, of course I can do it. Of course, I can counsel. So yeah, I've been counseling for 4 years in Catholic University. Of course I can do it. I mean, this type of attitude when it comes to, do you really want the job? I mean, if you really want the job, you shouldn't be behaving that way. Because the minute you sit back like that and you're totally relaxed, it just seems to me like you're just there to have a good time. I mean, you're not even concerned whether you can counsel students or not. I'm sorry? Free coffee, exactly. Free coffee, you know, a free ride to American University, free parking, you know. I don't know what she was after, but, like, I mean, it was really strange because many of us knew her from conferences and everything, and we were really eager to interview her. We wanted to hire her. But because she behaved like that, we just couldn't because it just seemed like she could care less for the job. You know, so do you want the job is a question. Of course you want the job, otherwise you wouldn't be there. But is it coming across in your attitude that you want the job? Okay? Something when you're talking to people, for example, you're talking to me, and instead of looking at you in the eye, I'm looking like this. Am I interested in what you're saying? No. Like, if I'm talking to you, and imagine I have a watch, right? I'm talking to you, and then you're saying things to me, and I'm like this. Am I interested in what you're saying?
Yeah.
No. So give that person your full attention. Okay? You don't need to stare like a psycho and be like the whole time staring. No. You make eye contact, you drift away a little bit, you make eye contact, you drift a little bit. But remember, when somebody's talking to you, and this goes for receptions, it goes for conferences, it goes for your professors, it's just a polite thing to do. When people are talking to you, you listen, right? You shut up and you listen and you look at them. Okay, that's the minute. When somebody's talking, you shut up. That's, you know, and in an interview, that's really important, guys. Really important. Sometimes out of nervousness, when you have a panel interview, you know, people start talking, and out of nervousness, you want to talk on top of their voice. If you do that, it's really impolite. Somebody's talking, you shut up, and you listen, and you look at the person who's talking. Okay? So do you want the job? All of this, you know, is to prove that you want the job. You are being considerate, you're being polite, you have manners, you know, and your body language is important. Keep that in mind. When you're listening to somebody and you are interested in what they're saying, normally you kind of lean forward a little bit, right? It's like a body language thing. You don't go like, if you go like this, this is a body language that says, I don't care what you're saying. Okay, so be careful about that. The other thing that they put here, and this applies a lot more for more senior positions. I give the same workshop for alumni as well. So this question is more in that case when you're doing lateral moves. Can we afford you? So in other words, you don't want to seem like a very high maintenance person. You know, you don't want to walk in. You want to be confident, but you don't want to come across as snob. Does everybody know what snob means? Like a snobbish person. A person who's high maintenance, which means, you know, they only have expensive things, they're very materialistic, they walk in like in a very cocky, pretentious way. You know, you want to be confident, but you don't want to be pretentious. Okay, there is a, because otherwise you give the impression of like, nobody can afford me, I'm so high maintenance, this organization is not going to be able to pay me enough. Okay, so be careful about that. All right, any questions so far? Okay, so this is one of the most important questions in an interview. And I'm getting to the slide where it says, tell me about yourself. Yes.
I'm sorry, I think I have one question.
Yes.
I heard that because, like, my case, we are kind of humble, you know, Asian, less than we are. So do you think it's kind of, it's like somebody say it looks like you are not really confident, have self-confidence, you know, to prove yourself much when you're too humble or something.
Yes,
like
if in this culture, especially as an attorney, you are expected to be confident. So if you are too submissive and too, you speak very quietly and you're kind of shy and like very introspected, you know, that's not seen as a good quality for an attorney in this culture, because attorneys are supposed to be go-getters, to be passionate about things, to be advocates, right? So I feel that if you are, you know, raised that way, it would be a good training, you know, to do some mock interviews, and I can practice with you many times, because it's not that it would completely undermine your possibility of having a job, but sometimes people can read that as a lack of interest or lack of confidence that you can do the job. So that's, you know, just how you come across. Law firms are more critical about that. If you're going to work with public organizations, public interest organizations, that doesn't matter as much. But in law firms, you are definitely expected to not be shy, to be confident, to walk and earn the room, you know, like own the room type of thing. But in a public interest organizations, it's not that, you know, that bad. It's not judged as such a bad thing. But showing passion is important. And when you're too humble, too shy, too quiet, you don't show passion. And, you know, showing passion is important. So tell me about yourself. The reason why we have a whole slide about it is because that question will come up on your interviews. That's one of the most common questions I've ever seen. Every interview I've done, every interview I've done for all kinds of different jobs, they did ask me this as the first question. It's like you go through, so you shake hands, you go through the, hi, how are you? Well, did you have, Americans will ask you about transportation, about the weather sometimes, right? And that's like, it's very interesting because it really doesn't matter, but it's just to break the ice, just so you have something to talk about initially. So they're going to say, oh my God, it's so sunny today, right? Yeah, it's going to get to 65. Did you see? You know, don't get bored about that yet, because you're going to be facing, if you're in America, you're going to be facing that comment all the time. Even I've been here for 11 years, now I'm doing it too. I catch myself saying, going to an elevator and just saying, oh, it's sunny today, right? Yes, it's sunny today. And I'm like, what am I doing? I'm not American. But like, oh, I've been living here for so long, you know, might as well. So usually that's how people start a conversation with you. They will say something about the weather. In interviews, a lot of times they will ask you, did you have a hard time finding us? Okay. What does it mean when they're asking that? They're just trying to make you feel comfortable. And usually, even if it took you 4 hours on the train, metro, and plane, and swimming the river Potomac to get there, you're just going to say, no, it was very easy. Thank you. It was nice. Okay. Because you don't want to be negative. So that's where the white lies come along. White lies are lies that don't hurt, lies that actually make things easier for your life, right? So even if you swam the river and you're like, you know, it took you forever to get there, you know, you had a ride, the person canceled on you, you had to get a cab, you didn't have cash, You're not going to say that to people, right? Imagine, like, you're interviewing with me and I say, so, did you have a nice time finding us? Did you have a hard time finding... Not a nice time. They usually say, did you have a hard time finding us? How did you get here? And you say, oh, my God, you have no idea what happened to me. My friend was supposed to drive me here today, but they bailed out. You know, I knew that he was going to do that. I knew it because that person... And then you go on and on and on. I mean... Is that a good way to start? No.
Wait,
no.
Could yes. you get a good response? Yes, I did, but it was fun.
Yes. yes. It was fun and interesting. Yes, I had an interesting ride. Yes, that is okay. That's definitely okay. So, you know, what I'm trying to portray here is like you want to be honest, but sometimes honesty can bring a lot of negativity. So in America, you know, we pass each other on the corridor and we say, hey, how are you? In a lot of cultures, like Polish culture, for example, in Poland, they're supposed to say, if you ask somebody how they're doing, they're supposed to say exactly how they're doing. So in other words, there is a thing that they say that it says bardzo źle. Bardzo źle means awful, okay? They will say that to you. You ask, hey, how are you doing? They will say awful. And then you have to hear the story, why awful, okay? In this culture, it's different. We don't do that. So every time you say to somebody, hey, how are you? Even if you're like really bad, doing really bad, if it's just an interaction in a corridor or something, you know, you just say, yeah, I'm fine, thank you. How about you? Okay, that's the polite thing. Now, if I'm your friend or you're coming in for counseling and I say, how are you doing? How are your classes doing? And you're having problems, don't pretend. I mean, if that's a different situation. I'm interacting with you one-on-one. We are in a private space. You can tell me all your problems. That's fine. An intimate friend, you can tell all your problems. But if you're just passing somebody on the corridor, you're just expected to say, I'm fine, thank you, and you keep on going. Okay, so that's just the culture. So tell me about yourself. So first thing, okay, you go in, you shake hands, you make eye contact, you sit down. People are going to say, so did you have a hard time finding us? Say, no, actually, like Siri said, it was actually interesting getting here. It was fun. So it was okay. I found you okay. Okay, so that's when the interview is actually going to start. Usually people will say, well, thank you so much for coming, right? Because they know, you know, you relocated yourself from where you were to get there to meet them. So what do you say to that? Well, thank you so much for having me. Okay, that's a very polite way to, you know, say that I'm thankful for the interview. Very, very likely they will say, well, so tell me, they were going to have your resume in front of them, right? So tell me a bit about yourself. What do you say to that? What type of things about yourself they want to learn?
Things related to the work they offer.
Very good, okay. What else? So, what they want to know is a little bit about your history, okay? Is it appropriate for me to give a 25-minute speech when they ask me, tell me a little bit about yourself? I go on for 25 minutes. Well, I was born in Brazil. You know, when I was born, my parents have a pair of German Shepherds. That's why I like dogs so much. And then I grew up, and then we moved to this big house, and then we moved to an apartment. I mean, is that what they want to know about you? No. Okay, of course not. But I've had people do that. So what do we want to know about you? Let's just make a rule of thumb. They want to know your life, law school and after. Okay, law school back home and after. So you're going to say, well, you intervene for a lawyer position or an internship position related to law, so we want to know lawyer and after. Okay, so lawyer and after is a good rule of thumb. So what would you say if they say, tell me a little bit about yourself? Well, I actually obtained my first law degree in Japan. And over there in Japan, I had two internships, one with a law firm and the other one with a judge. And then I decided that it would be really important for me to come and get my LLM. So, and they're going to say, what is an LLM? A lot of times Americans don't know what an LLM is. So you say, well, I thought it was important to obtain my Master of Laws, so I decided to apply for programs in the United States. I came here about 6 months ago. I started working on my master's at American University, and I've been working there with Professor Eli. She's the international trade professor, and I'm working as a Dean's Fellow, which is like a research assistantship, and I'm enjoying it very much. And then I saw the opportunity that you advertised. I'm very, very interested in working with you. So that's a concise, I'm just giving an example of like, how do you go about, tell me a little bit about yourself, okay? If, as we know is the case with a lot of people, if your whole family are lawyers back home, if you come from a family of judges or you yourself are a judge back home and you're texting right now, just pick on him. So you should say that on the interview, okay? It's not cocky, it's not pretentious to say that. Why? Because a lot of times you may be hired just because of your connections back home. As LLMs, a lot of times the firms are looking at us, sadly, with a business opportunity in front of them. So if you are a person who's well-connected back home, you are a member of the bar and you participate in things back home, your father is a judge, your parents were prosecutors, I mean, whatever connection you have to the legal community back home, you want to say, tell me about yourself, you're going to talk about that as well. Okay, it's okay to say that. So I've been a judge for blah, blah, blah years in Egypt, and right now I'm looking for an internship here. That's very important because people will hire you just because of that expertise. Okay? What else? If you don't have any work experience at all, which sometimes a lot of people don't, it's not a problem. For internships, usually not a problem. But then you talk about your academic experience. You say, well, I don't have, you don't need to mention that you don't have experience. If they say, well, you don't have any experience in this area, you say, well, actually I have some academic experience. I took this in this course, and I also wrote a research paper about this. So courses and education and research papers count as experience. Okay, a lot of times they make up for the lack of experience in a certain area. Okay, so if you look here, we put it like in bullet points for you, the things that you should say when they say, tell me about yourself, okay? Tell them why you're interested in the job, tell them what you think you can bring to the table, that's also good things. When it comes to questions, keep in mind that any question about your resume is fair game, okay? So if they start asking you, what did you enjoy the most when you were working at this law firm? Have prepared answers for that, okay? So those are normal, you know, very fair game questions. What is not fair game? Give me an example of a not cool question in an interview. In the United States, I mean, in other countries, it's okay sometimes to ask these things. Are you married? Is that a good question for an interview?
No.
In the United States, it's actually illegal to be asking that kind of stuff. It's not appropriate. It's not the culture. If you are interviewing and somebody asks you that, if you are okay with answering, you know, go ahead and answer. That's fine. Even though you know the person shouldn't be asking, if you're okay with answering that, just say yes or no, or, you know. If you are not okay with answering, and that question makes you feel uncomfortable, okay, if I ask you, what is your religion? That is a very uncomfortable question, and it's wrong. It's wrong to ask, okay? What do you do? If you are rude, you're not going to get the job, right? So you don't want to be rude. You want to be diplomatic, right? So a good way to get out of that situation is to say, you know, before I answer that, I am just really curious. Why would it matter for this job that you know what my religious preference is? Or you could say, I am just curious. Why exactly, like, to choose me for this job, why do you need to know that I'm married? Does it matter for my performance if I'm married or not? Okay, so you turn that around. And I can guarantee you that the person is going to feel very embarrassed that they ask you that. And they're going to say, no, actually, you're right. It doesn't matter. And you don't have to answer. Okay? If you stand up and say, this is an illegal question, and you walk out, you're not going to get the job. Right? So if you really want the job, you try to play it diplomatically. Okay? If that offends you and you really don't want to answer and they keep insisting, you just say, I'm really sorry, but this is a very personal question and I don't feel comfortable answering that. In America, I love living here for a couple of reasons, but one of the reasons is the phrase, I am not comfortable. In America, people actually respect that you're not comfortable. In my country, if you say I'm not comfortable, they're going to say, so what? Answer anyways. But over here, it's really, you can test this, it's really cool. People come to you and say things that are, if you look really serious at them and you say, I'm really not comfortable with this. If they're American, they're going to say, oh, I'm sorry. Immediately. Brazilians will say, so what? You know? Okay. But anyway, just to give you a cultural perspective. So the phrase, I am not comfortable with something, is taken very seriously in this culture. And you can use it. You can use it to your advantage. Okay? When somebody's asking you, so, I don't know, any type of question, how many kids do you have? Are they boys or girls? And what are their ages? And you don't want to answer. You just say, well, this is a very personal question about my family. I'm just not comfortable answering it, if you don't mind. And that puts the person on their place that they're asking something wrong. Okay, you had a question.
Well, I just had the same question. I mean, suppose if I don't have any problems to answer such silly questions in an interview board, and they ask me if I'm married, and I go further and inform them, give them more information.
Say, yeah.
Well, I have three kids.
Uh-huh.
And then, I mean, I'm married and I have three kids. So
uh-huh.
Would that be okay? I mean, you know.
That would be okay, but keep in mind, depending on the job that you're doing, you may not want to say it. Because, for example, if it's a job that requires you to travel every month, like if you're working for the World Bank, okay, and they know they're going to be sending you to Africa for 2 weeks every month, and you say you have a wife and three kids, they may think that you're not going to be able to do all the traveling required. Okay, so keep that in mind. Okay, on the other hand, if you're interviewing with a very conservative law firm, a small boutique law firm in the middle of Bethesda, they actually may want you to have three kids and a wife because everybody in the firm does, and they feel more comfortable relating to you because they do. So be a little careful how much you disclose, and keep in mind that you don't have to disclose. In this country, you don't. Okay, the other thing, guys, to keep in mind is that in ISIP, which is the international program in New York, any question is fair game because people are coming from other cultures, other firms, you know, other countries, you know, firms from other countries. So over there, it's more difficult for us to monitor, you know, the U.S. culture of interviewing because people are coming from somewhere else. However, like last year, we had a partner from Clifford Chance who was asking very inappropriate questions from all students. So what happened is all the students reported to us. So what I ask you is, be diplomatic about your answers, like I'm teaching you today, and then let me know about it, because usually we contact the employer and we actually, you know, let them know that this is not good. So that person, we all the career counselors pretty much contacted Clifford Chance, and that guy is not coming to ISIP anymore. He's banned from ISIP because he harassed students. I mean, he told one of my students, you are lying in your resume. This resume is a lie. That's what he told my student. And I know it's not a lie because I reviewed his resume and the guy had a really good resume. So that is inappropriate. I mean, you don't address people like that, right? He was from Spain, and I guess in Spain it's okay to do that. I don't know, but here it's not. So we go after that. But when you're sitting right there and you're faced with that situation, just be diplomatic. Otherwise, you won't get the job. Okay? Any other questions? Okay. So there are questions that we call like direct questions about your background, about your resume, about what you've done. And there are something that is becoming very popular in the United States to use. And don't be afraid of the name. It's just a name, a scientific name for it. It's called behavior questions, behavior-based interview questions. Okay? And I have them right here, like the behavioral style of interviewing. This is what I wanted to talk to you a little bit about. What does that mean? It's an interview technique that instead of asking you pointed questions about where did you go to school, how many years of experience you have, which languages do you speak, I'm not talking about your skills, your background, but I'm actually talking about scenarios where you had to behave and how did your behavior come across. So I'll give you an example. Like yesterday, I was going through this interview questions with somebody, and the question was, tell me about a time in your job when you had a disagreement with a colleague, and tell me how did you solve that disagreement. Okay, so that's a behavior question because I'm asking you about your behavior. I'm asking you how did you handle that situation. So there are 10 situations that are going to come to your mind. 9 of them, you had a disagreement and you screamed at your colleague, you threw all your papers on the floor, you ran in the corridor, and then you kept yelling. I mean, are you going to, if you ever done that, okay, which can happen, I'm just giving you as an extreme example. If you've ever done that, when they ask you about a disagreement at work, don't talk about that example, okay? Even if you have to make up an example, even if you don't have an example, okay, just think ahead of time what would be an example where you actually handle the situation well. So you can say, well, I was working with this colleague on a brief, and she thought the brief should be 10 pages, and I thought it should be 15. I'm just giving, you know, a simple example. So, you know, what we did is I told her why I thought it should be this way. She told me why. And, you know, I think it's very important to listen when you have a disagreement, and I am open to listening to people. And then finally we agreed that we're going to do the brief in 12 pages and a half. Okay, so something like that. I mean, imagine a scenario where you actually had consensus. You were the one seeking consensus instead of fighting with people. Okay, so when they ask you, it's very important to have examples. What are the most common behavioral interview questions that you're going to see? Tell me a bit about a time when you had a problematic situation at work and you actually had a good solution for it. Tell me about a time, and you may want to make notes if you want to remember this later. Tell me about a time when your boss asked you for too many things to do and you were overwhelmed and you had to handle that situation. You had to tell your boss, look, I am overwhelmed already. I have too many things to do. What else can I say? Tell me about a time. Tell me about a success story. Tell me about your problem-solving skills. Tell me about a time when you had a problem to solve, you solved it, and you were actually successful at it. Okay, so all of those things, you're not going to be able to think about it in 3 seconds in the interview. This question should not be a surprise to you. You should be prepared to answer that beforehand, okay? You had a question. Somebody here had a question? No.
Followed your questions, what other issues, maybe some ethical issues. I think it's very common in law firms, like sometimes you know the requirements of client are not legal. I mean, how to face these kind of all the problems you have to dealt with is in breach of your lawyer ethic code.
You mean in an interview they could ask you a question that is going to make you breach?
How to solve these illegal problems? I mean, how to tell the client or your partner that how to face this kind of problems when you face that?
That is not. Yeah, that's definitely not going to be on your interview for the job.
But I met once.
Yeah.
With a British guy. He asked me. There's some legal matters in breach of your ethical code, for example, like in China.
Ah, that is an interview question, not that it's an actual scenario. He's giving you an example.
He asked me to provide an example and ask my solution to this question.
Ah, okay. Well, you're going to have to behave as ethical, you know, as possible and give a very ethical solution.
Yeah, at once it's not because of me, it's because of the fault of my partner. So my answer is how to make this up. I mean, make up this fault did by my
But do partner. You need to, when he asks you about an example of something unethical like that, do you need to give an example of that? I mean, if you don't say anything about it, how would he know that happened?
I think the question...
Don't bring up that can of worms to the interview, because, you know, if you open the can of worms, you're going to have to catch all the worms. So, you know, if he asks you for an example where something was difficult, don't tell such a difficult example, because you're boxing yourself in that question,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Maybe we can talk one-on-one, because I'm not really understanding, like, what the issue is. But, yeah, just for the sake of time, let's talk about it, okay? So basically, if somebody's asking you to give an example of something problematic, you know, you want to be realistic and you want to be as forward as possible about it, but at the same time don't talk about a huge problem where there was no solution or you actually have a bad solution for it, because if you don't open your mouth, they're never going to know, right? So bring up something that is not as problematic, I would say. So what else? The other thing that is very common is for people to ask, give me 3 qualities you have, which for most of us is easy because we are brilliant, right? So we're going to say, well, I am a hard-working individual, I am a go-getter. What does it mean to be a go-getter? It's like when you go after things, you really work hard to get things done, okay? I have good research skills, I have good interpersonal skills. Interpersonal skills means you relate well to people, you're a nice person to work with. So all of those good stuff, things that you know about yourself, because I know you're all brilliant, that's why you're here. Now comes the flip of the coin, which is give me 3 examples of bad things about you. And that is where we have to train you. Okay? So what could you say when somebody asks you, give me 3 examples, give me 3 qualities you have and give me 3 problems, 3 shortcomings that you have, 3 weaknesses. Usually they use the word weakness. Should I say, oh, actually, I'm so brilliant, I don't have any weakness? Not that I know of. Give a lawyer answer, not that I know of. Should I give that answer? No. Even though a lot of times we think we don't have shortcomings. But what do you say to that?
that find something that seems to be a weakness, but eventually, but actually came out as something very good.
You are brilliant. I mean, that's exactly what you need to do. Okay? So we're going to find, I'm going to put quotes in the air, weaknesses that in reality are things that an employer would actually like. Okay? Mm-hmm. So what's a very good weakness that an employer would actually like? Well, I happen to be a perfectionist. I suffer so much, and this is a weakness I have. Okay? I'm in character here. It's not me talking. It's like an example. Okay? So I am actually so much of a perfectionist that I actually suffer with this because I want everything so perfect that I review it 10 times just to make sure every detail comes out good. And that actually, you know, creates some anxiety. So I'm dealing with that, you know, but I like things, I like my work product to be perfect. And being a perfectionist sometimes can be very difficult. That's a good one. What is one that I actually asked a student this in my office? We were practicing for an interview, and I asked, so tell me about three weaknesses you have. Well, the first one is I lose everything. You give me a piece of paper, I'm going to lose it. So I don't know where to put things. I'm really disorganized. This is just the way my mind operates. I don't know what I do. I mean, guys, can you say that on an interview? No. I was actually surprised because I had done the session and then we go to practice the interview and I say, so tell me about your weaknesses. And the first thing the person says, I am actually disorganized. I lose every single paper I have. I've always been like this. This has been since childhood. My mother told me like I should, I mean, don't get into that. That's not what you're supposed to say. You're supposed to be honest, but, you know, omit the things that are really serious. The other thing is, one person says, well, I actually have a drinking problem. I drink. And, you know, I'm trying to get better at it. I'm in treatment, but I drink a lot. So you don't, that's not something you're going to say. I mean, common sense, okay? Don't say that. So what are the things that you can say? Well, number one, you know, I am a perfectionist. I really want things to be very good. So it takes me a lot of energy to do that. The other thing you can say is when I get into a project, I get so much into it that I get so involved that I don't see that sometimes there are too many tasks that I'm taking on and it becomes difficult for me to manage that. So that's a weakness I had, but I learned better now that I've been working for quite a while. I learned better how to manage that, so I make sure that I pretty much control my enthusiasm and I don't just take all of the tasks that everybody wants me to do all at once because I know how much I can do and I can manage my time better. So, you know, even if you say a weakness, it's always good to say you've worked through it and you are already much better at it right now. Okay, but you need to say something. So the point is, think about it in advance so that you can come across as somebody who has weaknesses because you're human, but they are very manageable, acceptable weaknesses. That book that I was talking about, both of those books, they talk about this a lot and they give you ideas on what you can say and what you cannot say. Okay, so that's just an interview technique that people are using a lot right now to tell me a time when, tell me an example when, and you know, in the context of being a lawyer, it's always going to be related to research, to client matters, to, you know, law subjects. So, you know, it's not something hard to think about in advance in case you are going for the interview. Okay, what else? So I'm going to skip through this. So basically, we have some sample questions for you here. We also have a ton of sample questions for you over here on the other handout. We're really running out of time, but I'm going to try to rush through this a little bit. The other thing is, after, you know, you've gone back and forth, you talked about yourself, people asked you questions, this is something you can definitely count on. This will happen to you in your interview, which is at the end of the session, the interviewer is going to say, do you have any questions for us? Okay? What do you say to that? Should you have questions or should you not? Yes. Why? Why?
To show your interest.
Okay? This lady that we interviewed, who actually surprisingly was a career counselor for years, the one who's sitting like this, we asked her, do you have any questions for us? She says, no, not really. What does that mean? It means you could care less, right? Mm-hmm. So even if in reality you don't have questions, because you took this session today and I'm teaching you this, when you are doing your research about the company or the position, you know, you are going to think about which clever, intelligent questions you can ask at the end of your interview. Okay? So what are intelligent questions that you can ask? You can ask about the subject matter, you know, of law if you have a pointed question. If you research the person you are actually going to interview with and you know they wrote an article, you know, you can ask questions related to an article that somebody wrote, you know, the interviewer wrote. You can ask smart questions, would be also about what is expected of you in the work in the workplace. So basically, as an intern, how many hours am I expected to be working every week? Or as an intern, how many lawyers am I going to be doing research for? How many supervisors am I going to have? And am I going to be working just one-on-one with you, or is it going to be more people supervising me? Those are legit questions. They show that you're interested in knowing what you're getting into, and that's okay, right? What else? Any other types of questions? What is not appropriate to ask? How much vacation am I going to have? Okay, we had somebody, another career counselor, do this to us. We asked her, do you have any questions for us? She says, well, this year I'm planning on being pregnant and having a baby, and I'm just wondering, how much maternity leave do you guys offer? That's a very good question, and it's a legitimate question, but you don't say that in the first interview. That's too early to talk about that. That would be part of your negotiation questions when you are negotiating after you get the offer, not right away, right? How much vacation am I going to have? That's going to eliminate you right there. Okay, so think about it a little bit, and common sense applies as well. And usually you don't ask the salary. Okay, if there is no mention of the salary in the first time you go interview somebody, it doesn't come out of you. It shouldn't come out of your mouth. How much are you paying for this position? What would be my salary? You don't say that. You wait until people start discussing that with you later. Okay? Okay, so anything else before we wrap up the interview part, and I'm going to talk a little bit about dressing and all that stuff. Yes.
Sorry to interrupt you.
No problem.
A question about the questions. I mean, can I ask some questions about the professional opportunities, such as some training provided?
Yes. That's completely legitimate, and it actually shows interest. So do you provide any type of training for this position? When I start working, do I have anybody to mentor me through the beginning of it? The other thing that is okay to ask is, like, how far... Like, is it possible to obtain a more advanced position after this first one? You know, if I do really well in this position, is there a possibility that I will stay with you in the company? So, you know, those are legitimate questions, yes. And ask what type of training you offer, you know, to interns. Yes, that's okay. Bye. Take care. Have a good weekend. We're almost done, guys, almost done. So... all of those things are okay to ask. You know, as I said, there are some faux pas that you're not going to be asking. So one thing I forgot to mention in the beginning, which is part of your preparation, is how are you going to dress for interviews, and what to take with you in the interview, the day that you go to the interview. So we do have in this handout, we have some things that talk about some places where we talk about the dress. So basically, just to be straightforward about it, you need to dress formally. You know, remember that the profession, you know, in the United States, the legal profession is still a very formal profession. So for women, you don't want to wear anything containing lycra. You don't want to wear anything too tight. This is not the time to show you have a nice body. It's the time to show that you're professional, okay? Leave the lycra, the tights, and the short things to the club on the weekend or after you get hired. You may even, you know, get into that a little bit more. But right now, we're really not interested, you know, as much how many hours you spend at the gym every week, but we're interested in what you have to say. So call attention to yourself by being smart and having good things to say, instead of wearing fishnets to the, you know, does everybody know what fishnets is? Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. I've seen that in interviews and it's terrible. It's really, really bad. The other thing for women, you want to stay away from very flashy colors on your nail polish. Mm-hmm. The reason for that is if you are like me, I talk with my hands, mm-hmm. you will see the interviewer sitting across from you going like this. It's like a tennis game, you know, like tennis match. Like people follow the little tennis ball, you know. It's distracting. The reason why, it's not that it's unfashionable, it's not that it's tacky, but it's just distracting. So what you want to do is, of course, you want to have some nail polish, but you want to have like clear, you know, clear beige, like, you know, neutral colors. Okay, those are the common mistakes for women: too short, too tight, too flashy. So none of that. Be discreet. If you wear a suit, you know, it could be a pantsuit, it could be a skirt suit. Just make sure it's not a light color. It has to be dark colors are better. So dark gray, gray, black, navy, blue is okay. For men, the same thing. For some reason, I don't understand why, but in the United States, it's a faux pas. It's a bad thing to wear like a white suit or a beige suit to an interview. I didn't know. I actually showed up for a Deloitte & Touche interview in a beige suit, and I didn't know it was bad. But I found out very quickly. Yes.
What about the shoe? Can
you
wear
shoe, very, yeah.
The boots.
You cannot wear what I'm wearing today to an interview. Absolutely not. Sorry?
High heels would do.
High heels would be good. Not flat. Like, I'm wearing flats. Like, no, I'm kidding. Don't wear boots to an interview. That's inappropriate. If it's cold outside and you need to wear boots, you wear the boots and you bring a little bag, go to the bathroom, change into your normal heels, and then you can ask for the reception to hold that bag for you for a while. I've done that in interviews. When it's snowing outside, I mean, you're not going to walk around in heels. The Russian girls do, but, you know, normally tropical people like me are not able to do it. I admire them for doing it. But yeah, you always wear, and for the women it's really important, and for the men too, never wear open shoes to an interview. People don't want to see your toes yet. That's too much information, okay? We don't want to see your toes. That's something you keep private. You show it to your, you know, family, to people who are more intimate with you, not to a law firm, not to an interview. Don't show your toes, no matter what. It doesn't matter how hot it is outside, you don't wear sandals to an interview, please, okay? If you wear sandals, just don't say you're from American University, please. Okay? No, show the shoes have to be closed, and then no boots, you know, preferably just a nice, it doesn't have to be high heels if you don't want to. It could be flat shoes, but it has to be closed and very discreet, okay? Wear pantyhose, you know, that's super important. In the United States, when you don't wear pantyhose, it's taken as if you're going to the beach or something. So we're still very conservative. You don't need to wear pantyhose later in the office if you don't want to, but in the interview, you have to. For the man, what are the things to keep in mind? It's always good to have a white shirt with your suit, okay? So don't wear colored, you know, shirts. That's like for conservative, very conservative jobs. If you're applying for a job with an NGO, it shouldn't be so much of an issue, but for law firms it is. You have to wear a white shirt. Darker suits are better, very discreet ties, okay? If you have a tie that has Mickey Mouse on it, that's probably not a good tie for a first interview. You can wear it in the office later, but not maybe in the first interview. What do you carry with you? And this is for men and women, it's the same thing. It's always good to have a nice folder, right? A very clean, conservative folder where you have copies of your resume printed in resume paper, okay? You also have in that package a list of references, which are professional references. And you may have a notepad and a pen if you want, just to have something in your hand so you don't feel nervous and you're shaking and you don't know what to do with your hands, okay? You may have that as well. So definitely your resume needs to be there. Bring as many copies as your resume of your resume as you know how many people are going to be there. If you're meeting with six people, bring six copies of your resume because the secretary may not have printed out for everybody. Okay, and then keep a copy to yourself. You actually can have a copy of your resume in front of you as you're talking. Just don't make sure you don't read it, but just for reference. If they ask you for dates, you may have to glance down a little bit. That's fine, okay, to do that. What else? If you have business cards, you can bring them to the interview. It's not a necessity if you don't have it because your contact information is in the resume anyways. As you finish the interview, that's the other part, you're definitely going to stand up. You shake hands with the person. If it's one-on-one or two people, you're going to shake hands. If it's a whole group, six people, you won't shake hands. But you always say, thank you so much for your time. I really enjoyed meeting you. And then you always ask for the time frame because it's very considerate to you that the company or the NGO or whoever is hiring you tell you how much time you're going to be waiting. So pretty much you can always ask when you're leaving the interview room, you can always ask, what is your time frame for giving me an answer about this position, or what is your time frame for hiring somebody for this position? And then you ask, what is the next step? Should I get in touch with you or should I wait for you to contact me? Okay, if you want, if it's more than one person, you may also ask for business cards if they have it. That will make it easier for follow-up later so that you remember the names of the people you met. especially if they gave you names of people and you get there and those people they gave you the names are not there, they had to switch to new people, you definitely want to ask for business cards because you're going to have to contact those people later, okay? I'm almost done. I want to like leave you guys to enjoy the weather outside, but one more thing that is super important is as soon as you finish the interview, you go home and you start preparing your thank you notes, okay? In America, you have to send a thank you note to everybody who interviewed you. If it was a panel interview with 10 people, don't be lazy and group all the 10 people in one email and say, thanks, guys. You know, that's not going to do it. You have to write individually to each person, okay? This handout has guidance on it. I think that this handout says printed letters are ideal. I actually am a firm believer that we are in email age. An email is fine, okay? So emails are fine. It's not okay, not good sometimes to write, handwrite a note because sometimes your handwriting is not so good. And then if you handwrite, you can't check the spelling and sometimes you may make a spelling mistake. So I would say an email would be nice. You also thank the organizer of the interview, even if it's a human resources or a secretary. You know, it's always good to send an email and thank them for organizing this for you, for bringing you to the firm. The other thing, guys, you want to write this down and make sure you remember this. Be courteous to people who are support staff, okay? Secretaries, paralegals, receptionists, you know, anybody, doorman, anybody. You need to be nice and courteous to everybody. In the United States, there is a hierarchy in titles, but there is no hierarchy as far as respect goes. You don't have to extend respect just to a partner, just to a lawyer. You have to extend respect to everybody. Why am I saying this? Because the most weird thing to me in this culture, and it happens all the time, is when they're making a hiring decision, they have you and somebody else as a candidate to choose from. Lawyers will ask the receptionist to give her opinion. So this guy walked in, how did he treat you? What is your opinion? If you had to choose, would you choose this guy or that guy? And the receptionists and the interns and the secretaries, their opinion here in this country matters. In other countries, in Brazil, we could care less what the secretary is thinking. Okay, but here it matters. So remember that and be smart and be nice to everybody. You know, say hi, smile, say thank you, you know, be nice to people because their opinion is going to matter. Okay? Okay, we're done. So what I want you to do is get home and definitely read through this. Keep in mind those two books that I gave you the name for. Those are really good to prepare you. If you have any questions, come and ask me. If you have an interview coming up and you want to practice, you know, just make sure you give us advance notice. You call the front desk and you say, I want to do a practice interview or I want to do a mock interview, and they're going to schedule it for you. I'm more than happy to interview you. And then we usually do it for like 20, 30 minutes. And then I give you feedback. I'll say, well, like the guy from Ethiopia, like, you're doing this all the time. That's not good. Okay? Sometimes you do things you don't realize. You know, even when I have a job interview, I go and I get mocked by one of my colleagues if I have a job interview. Because, you know, I've been working with this for so long, but I may not remember things I'm doing. You don't see yourself. Other people see you. Right? Okay. So practice with your friends if you want. It's a good thing to do for the weekend. I'm joking. practice with your friends that tell me about yourself. Okay, see if your story is good, see if you're coming across boring, if you're coming across interesting. Your colleagues can be good judges of how you're coming across on that, so that you prepare a really good tell me about yourself speech. Okay, questions, anybody questions? Yes.
Last question, is it okay if I mean, out of habit, if I wink at the person who's interviewing me? I mean, he's pretty jovial, I mean, I'm having good fun.
And you do what?
Winking, I mean.
Winking?
It's in America, it's not very used, that type of language, body language. If you're making a joke and it's part of your joke, yes. But winking in America means flirtation.
Oh.
So you may get into problems. Yeah, winking is kind of like a flirty thing in America. So you may want to be a little careful about that.
Okay, girls, don't watch my eyes. Okay?
Yeah, like, or sometimes, I mean, I'll tell you what, if, let's say, I want to talk about a Brazilian restaurant and I want to say, oh, this one is really good. They have like the best. I'm trying to make the, I don't do that, but like most people, when they talk about something good, they wink sometimes. Okay, if it's in the context of that conversation, it should be okay. But I would still, for the first interview, I would still avoid it. Because even though you are a very like bubbly person, you know, very interesting, funny person, but the interview setting is still a formal setting, you know, so the first impression is going to be important. The reason is also something I forgot to say. When you're interviewing people, especially law firms, they see you interviewing the same way you would be interacting with a client. So they may not want you to be winking at the clients, you know, because that is a harassment case right there. So, you know, you may want to be mindful of that, that, you know, your behavior in the interview is going to be translated into how do you behave if I put you in front of a client. And the firm, if it's a conservative firm in the United States, they don't want you winking at the clients. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. Okay, so be a little careful about that. You know, being exotic won't get you far here too much in the first interview. After you're hired, your personality can come through. Of course, you're not going to pretend forever. You're not going to be serious forever. But, you know, and here, like we're saying about being smiley and being nice, but don't go overboard, like the jokes, the winking. I think you should save that for later. I really think so. Okay?
Yeah, I have.
Yes.
For the last thing that you talk about, the banks, because in usual, in my country, we don't have that.
Yes.
You mean that if we have to write like a letter? Or
it's not a... No. And we have a model for you in the handouts. There's a model that teaches you exactly what to write.
Okay.
The thank you note is actually just to say thanks for your time. So basically, dear Mr. Smith, thank you so much for interviewing, or thank you so much for taking the time to meet with me today. I really enjoyed discussing the internship position with you. I am eager to work with you, and I hope you will consider my candidacy in a favorable manner or favorably. If you want to mention something you discussed, so for example, if you discussed the intricacies of the job market in Hong Kong. Okay, so you can say, well, I really enjoyed discussing with you the peculiarities of the job market in Hong Kong. If there's something that is different that you spoke to that person about, if you mention it in the thank you note, that means you were paying attention. That is polite. So it's always good to pick something if you remember, right? Mm-hmm. Don't make it up. If you don't remember, don't make it up. But it's a very short, like probably like no more than 10, 15 lines there. You know, and then you say, I look forward to hearing from you, or I look forward to talking to you again, best regards in your name. You know, it's a very polite thing to do. That note has to be sent within 24 hours. Okay, don't wait a whole bunch of time. 24 hours is the good measure for that. And spell check, make sure you spell check.
Always the formal shoe, I mean, not casual shoe.
I'm sorry? Shoes?
A suit.
Always formal. Always wear a tie. For guys, always wear a tie. Always wear a formal suit. Yes. Even if you are interviewing with a very casual environment place, if you're interviewing with an NGO and you get there, everybody's in jeans and you are in a suit, that is okay and that's the way it's supposed to be, because all of those people there already have the job. Mm-hmm. You are trying to get the job, so you want to be formal. Yes. The first interview, always in a suit, no matter what.
It happened just this week. I applied for NGOs, so they called me. I couldn't answer, so I called back soon.
Uh-huh.
But I said my name, and I said I received a call, but I couldn't get the person to call me. So usually they I thought they send back my email, but usually is it easier to call me?
Yes, it's usually when you're called for an interview, you're asking, like, if I understood correctly, your question is, if you're called for an interview, are they going to call you on the phone or email you?
Okay.
Most of the times they will call you on the phone, and they will leave a message if you are not there, and you can return their call. Most likely it will be over the phone. To set up the interview, it's usually over the phone. The reason for that is because it's easier, in case they say, can you come tomorrow at 11, and you can't. You know, it's easier to interact with you on the phone to say, well, maybe 12 o'clock is better, maybe, you know, that's why. But and if they didn't call you back yet, like, you can call again and you know, definitely leave a message, definitely say, I'm very interested in interviewing with you. I'm very sorry I missed your call. I was in a class. You know, don't say I was in the bathroom. Don't say I was out with my girlfriend. I missed your call. No. I mean, just say, you know, something more, you know, professional. So, I am so sorry I missed your call. I was actually attending a conference. You know, something chic like that, right?
Something
so.
Like, you're on a date, you know,
that would be fine. No, don't do that, yes. But, yeah, definitely try to call them and say, I'm very interested in interviewing with you. I'm sorry I had my cell phone off because I was at in school. I was in a class. That's okay. I mean, completely fine. Okay? Okay, guys, thank you so much for coming, and it's really good to see you guys again. So have a great weekend. Enjoy. It's going to be sunny. It's a little cold, but it's going to be sunny. Very exciting.